You're listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
Welcome back to The Zone, presented by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now, here's Jason Anderson.
All right, we continue with ESPN 680, 105.7. Jason Anderson with you on this Monday edition of the show. Hanging out until 6 o'clock, coming up at the top of the 5 o'clock hour, we will talk with Dave School. Biggest Biscuit will be our guest. We'll talk about the A's and Royals and the importance of a bullpen. And Yasiel Puig taking on the entire Pirates team, which belongs in the Louvre.
I think it was the entire city, actually. Just the whole city of Pittsburgh. Yeah, the Steelers were there, too. Penguins wanted to get in on the action.
He's got Antonio Brown on his side, then, if he's doing that as well.
That's true. I think he even got a—I think I even saw Jeff Capel out there.
That's well. Jeff Capel was handing people $100 bills as they were going out there. Hey, here's a $100 bill if you want to go out there and throw some punches if you want to go check that out. Also, you want to play basketball? You got some eligibility left, huh? It's a different sport, Yasiel. By the way, Yasiel could play football. Did you see the bend?
Oh, for sure.
The
yeah.
bend around Tucker Barnhart on the end. By the way, Tucker Barnhart holding. Obviously holding.
By far.
The fact that it wasn't called is way more absurd and egregious than the double dribble.
Two thoughts I have after watching that final replay.
Eric Fisher would also not be able to guard Yasiel Puig.
This is true.
All right.
First thought.
Oh, that wasn't the first thought.
No, it was not, sir.
That was
so three thoughts then if we
My first
that
thought
one.
Was, wow, that looked like Eric Fisher against a man in an urn.
This is true.
So go ahead.
First thought. That is the best leadership that Joey Votto has shown in 3 years by actually trying to hold back one of his players from getting into a fight.
Well, he was just trying to make sure that the guy was walking and not running.
True.
Oh, man, that is a shot across the bow. That was straight from the mouth of Marty Brenneman. I'm just joking. I'm one of those that appreciates him taking a walk.
True, but point made. Second, those are the best swings I've seen of Yasiel Puig all season.
I see what you did there. Yeah. Didn't he have a home run? Didn't he already get a hold of one?
Doesn't mean it was the best swing this season.
You know what it was? It's Archer being a baby. Let's be honest. Dietrich hits a home run, and oh, well, you know, he did. He did watch it a little too long. He did enjoy that just a touch too long. Boy, if that had been a second shorter, then not a big deal. Oh, but the fact that he watched it for that long. Oh, it's absurd. Chris Archer was in the right to throw behind him. What a punk. Like Chris Archer, that's what he is. He's a punk. You know why he's a punk? Because he couldn't get Dietrich out. Dietrich crushes a ball off of him and watches it. If I hit a ball half that far, I would watch it longer. I would pimp that whole thing out. Are you kidding me? I'd do the Yasiel Puig in the playoffs with the Dodgers last year bat flip that in the middle of the swing after he made contact, he just lets the bat go in the air. I mean, that was an amazing bat flip. It was amazing. I would do that if I got it out of the infield on a major league pitcher, which I wouldn't even. I would do it if I made contact. I don't care if it's just a foul tip. That's fine. But, I mean, it's like, no. He watched the home run a little too long, so now we got to throw a 90-mile-an-hour projectile at him. And it's funny because it's such, and by the way, national championship coming up tonight, so let's talk baseball. It is such a, it's the exact opposite of people, what they make it out to be. Don't people say, well, you know, it's the unwritten rules. Now you can't throw at people. It's becoming, you know what it is? It's becoming a soft sport. These guys are getting soft. Now all of a sudden you throw somebody, now all of a sudden you want to charge them out. We're getting soft in baseball. No, it's the exact opposite. We're not getting soft. You were soft before. You know why you were soft? Because you couldn't handle somebody hitting a ball off your pitch. And so what happened is you got to throw at them because you got to act like a little child and throw a tantrum and throw at them. Oh, you hit the ball off me. I'm going to throw this 90 miles an hour and hit you because you hit a home run off of me. Now, it's not soft anymore. It's, you know what? Grow up. Grow up. He hit a ball off you. Don't act like a child and throw at him the next time. It's the exact opposite. You were soft before. Archer's soft. That's what he is. He's a punk.
His little strike you out, run backwards across the baseline.
I mean, no. Pitchers can celebrate all they want when they get a strikeout. They can fist pump and they can point in the air and they can stare down a batter and flex and everything. Because what's the batter going to do? Come up the next time and hopefully that they get a hit off them next time. How about this? Strike them out. How about that, Archer? A fake tough guy. And then who was the one that was taunting Puig and then went and hid behind his pitching coach or the hitting coach or whatever it is? Because that's what Puig got rolling the second time when it was like, now you got the picture of him taking on or picture of him taking on the entire Pirates team. It was because somebody started taunting him. And then Yasiel Puig, I think, hits the pitching or a hitting coach. But the guy right behind the hitting coach was the one that was taunting Puig that Puig was trying to get to. And he does it. And then he slides right behind the hitting coach and was like, yeah, this guy's right in front of me.
I know you know this reference.
What a loser.
But you know what the whole, that one picture that Deadspin got a hold of Puig, and then you just see the sea of Pirates?
Yes.
Which, that's a statement.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah. I need to see if I can do this like I did with the Bobby Petrino Photoshop. I need to see if I can do that, and then just take Yasiel Puig, clip him out of that, and put him over top of Jon Snow in that one scene where he's fighting right. Ramsey Bolton's army. He just pulls out the sword.
That's exactly right.
That's,
yes.
That's Puig.
That would be awesome. Yes. The only difference is there was nobody behind Jon Snow. There was nobody behind Puig like there was Jon Snow showing up at the exact right time. Sorry, that was too Disney. That whole thing, Battle of the Bees, that was too Disney for me. Even though it clearly was not Disney, it's just the way that turned out. It's like, oh, the exact right time.
No, it's old school Disney. It's like Bambi Disney.
Had they been there earlier, oh, the fight wouldn't have happened because Ramsay Bolton would not have charged there. Had they been there a little bit later, Jon Snow is dead. Oh, but the exact right time. Oh, perfect. Ha ha. Texas says, well, Jason, it is Virginia Tech or Texas Tech versus Virginia. You might as well talk baseball. That is true. I just love the unwritten rules of baseball. I'm going to throw at this guy because he hit a home run and he stared at it too long. Okay, yeah. Well, that's because you're soft. How about that? Because you're soft. Oh, Chris Archer, you need a safe space? Huh? You need to say you want a pacifier? Huh? You need to suck on your thumb?
Snowflake.
Are you snowflake? Oh, you can't handle somebody hitting a home run off you? Oh, that's too bad. Oh, you got to throw at him. Yeah, because baseball's so tough. Yeah, that's old school. That's when they were really tough and they took greenies. They were really ready to go, huh? You got up and you punched the guy and it was called baseball. You know why? Because we couldn't handle the guy hitting a home run off us, so we threw at him. And now if we don't throw at him, it's because we're soft. Ridiculous. How about this? Can you... What if it was basketball? Like, legit, I just thought about this, like comparing it to another sport. What if Kyle Guy is fouled... And he gets up and he grabs the basketball and he fires it right at the face of Doughty. Just right at his face. And then the referee comes out and what does he do? He points at the Auburn bench and points at the Virginia bench and says, no more. Anybody else throws a basketball at somebody else? All right. Okay. We're going to throw that person out. Oh, and the head coach is going to be thrown out too. Right? Wouldn't they be calling it a dirty play? Dirty, what are you throwing the basketball at him? Grow up. Grow up. What a punk. Huh? Punk. Chris Archer is a punk. Go win a game. Go do something worth their while. Except giving up a 500-foot bomb to Dietrich and then throwing behind him because you can't get him out. Tool. Thank you, Puig, for doing that. Puig can play football, by the way. Linebacker. Who had that line, Magic? Who was it that said it's the best swings he's taken as a Red? Was that you? Do you think of that? I like that. Very well done, buddy. Very, very well done. So I put together just a little bit when we were talking about the SEC, and we'll get into this more and more as we'll see, you know, different coaches that are hired. UCLA trying to hire Rick Barnes there. I don't know who they go after Rick Barnes. Texter said Shaka Smart won the NIT, so maybe that's the next choice. I mean, how far do they go? I mean, I guess if Rick Barnes says no, they can just reach out to Chris Beard, right? He'll say no, probably, right? I mean, I don't know who they go after if Rick Barnes says no. But Texas says Shaka Smart won an NIT. Maybe that's the case. But if Rick Barnes leaves, then I don't know who Tennessee goes out and gets. We'll find out with that as well. But the SEC has clearly made more of an emphasis and importance on basketball to try to get the coaches in there to make the conference better overall. And what'd they get, 7-8 teams in the tournament this year? They had three in 2016. Like, they got three teams in the NCAA tournament in 2016. Three of them. But if you go back to 2015, the SEC is in second place with the most different teams to make the Final Four, with Auburn making it this year. They are tied with the Big Ten. They are tied with the Big 12 for the second most. And Duke has the most with, or excuse me, ACC has the most with UVA winning it. The Big Ten in the last 5 years of the NCAA tournament has Wisconsin, Michigan, and Michigan State has won it twice, or went to the Final Four twice. The ACC has Duke, North Carolina, Syracuse, and now Virginia. North Carolina went there twice, won it. The SEC has Kentucky, South Carolina, and Auburn now. The Big 12 has Oklahoma, Kansas, and now Texas Tech. The Pac-12 is tied with the Big East, the West Coast Conference, and the Missouri Valley in the last 5 years with different teams. They all have one. That is Oregon in 2017 for the Pac-12. The West Coast has Gonzaga. The Big East has Villanova. And the Missouri Valley has Loyola. The Pac-12. Texas says, I thought Walton was UCLA's choice. He might be. Texas says, Rocky Top, Rick, I want Pitino in an all-orange suit. I want Rick Pitino to go to Tennessee so bad. That would be great. If Barnes says no, then UCLA will adjust their offer to Cal, 6 years, $24 million. Does UCLA call Jeff Walls? Might as well. They've called everybody else. Who's left for them to call? Dana Altman at Oregon? I mean, we just mentioned Oregon. I mean, Dana Altman's got to be up next. Lon Kruger at Oklahoma? Like, where do you go after that to UCLA if Rick Barnes says no? Because if Rick Barnes says no and all these other coaches have said no, no way Chris Beard says yes.
Crazy one? Matt Painter?
I mean, yeah, I mean, but does he say yes? Like, who do you call? I'm just trying to look through and see, like, teams at Loyola's head coach. I don't know who. Oh, Porter Moser. They go get Porter Moser. Mike Young is already gone. Is Kevin Willard? He stayed at Seton Hall, or did Virginia Tech not want him? Because, right, wasn't he going to end up at Virginia Tech, and then they get Mike Wofford Mike Young from Wofford? God, what if he was the head coach at Wofford and his name was Mike Wofford? Like, you couldn't leave then. Like, you would have to be there forever. It's like, you know, Steve Young playing at BYU. You know, you got the Young name. Like, you've got only one place to go. Like, you've got to go to BYU. You're required to do that.
Or if your last name is Smith.
That's right. Smith or Young. Those are the only two ways to be able to go. That's actually the only people that they allow into BYU, is if your name is Young or Smith. It would be very easy to be a broadcaster for BYU. Young takes the snap, hands it off to Smith. Smith running on the right side. He gets a block from Smith. Smith now down the right sideline. He laterals it to Young. Young now in the open field. He's got a block in front of him from Smith. Young dives over the end zone. Touchdown. Texas says, go get Little Richard. No, I don't even think he means Richard Pitino. I think he actually means UCLA might call Little Richard. Like, not even Richard Pitino, who got an extension. Louisville helping out the Pitino family, continuing to do that. Louisville helping Pitinos get money since 2001. It's like one of those shirts. It's like, whatever. Facebook exposing your friends as racist since 2005. Louisville helping the Pitinos get money since 2001. Nick Petrino to UCLA. Pitino to UCLA. Man, I will take that, dude. God. Texas says, is the guy down at the road at UC Irvine that bad? I have no idea. Texas says, Bill Self to the NBA, Chris Beard to Kansas. I think that might be the case. Maybe that, you know what, if that's the case, then the dominoes won't be as crazy as it might be when a job like Kansas opens up. Because what were the dominoes last time when Kansas opened up? It was Illinois, and then Bruce Weber went to Illinois, And then that was it. Southern Illinois, I don't know who took over after that, like it really matters. Because wasn't Weber at Southern Illinois or something like that? I think he was a Saluki. Took him to the tournament. I think he was there. Regardless. But yeah, if Chris Beard goes to...
How do you remember that's their mascot?
You don't know the Southern Illinois, the Salukis, right? I think so. Sounds good. As far as you know, that's their mascot. But yeah, if Bill Self goes to the NBA, Chris Beard would be the first call I'd make if I was Kansas. I don't want them to do that. I would like them to call Rick Barnes. Texas says, do only Bill and Marys go to William and Mary? Yes, that's right. That is exactly right. You must be named William, Bill, or Richard, or Rick. And also Mary, Mary Jane, Marilyn, Mary Ann. That's the only way.
Mary! Merry Christmas, you old William and Mary!
Texas says, I'm just saying there's an offensive genius out there. Bobby. Well, you know what? UCLA didn't like the way that Ben Howland played ball. I'll be damned if you get to the Final Four and only score 55 points.
I'm a good football coach, and I know how to win games.
Do you, though? Are you, though? Still? Isn't that past tense? I was a good football coach, and I knew how to win games. Play that again.
I'm a good football coach, and I know how to win games.
Was new.
I'm a good football coach, and I know how to win games.
I feel like we need to just switch those. It was a good football coach, and I knew how to win games. Not anymore, though.
Okay.
Used to.
Say the whole line, and I'm going to see if I can't splice that together for you in the
Very
next
good.
10 minutes.
All right. Coming down, and this is how we tape things in the business. Coming down in 3, 2, and 1. I was a 3, 2, and 1. That's actually how we tape things. God, son of a gun! 3, 2, and... I was... Ugh! One take, Tony, though. 3, 2, and 1. I was a good football coach, and I knew how to win games.
Perfect. I'll get that edited in the break.
Thank you. Should I do it as Bill Walton?
Yes, for comedic effect.
Do the interview with Bill Walton as Bill Walton. Or the interview with Grievous Vasquez in Spanish. Which one was better? Put that up on the Twitter poll. Grievous Vasquez interview in Spanish or Bill Walton interview as Bill Walton? The answer is yes. Texas says Will Wade to UCLA. He's technically not coaching. That's true. And he would fit right in the tradition of UCLA.
He could probably actually turn that into a winner.
Yeah.
For 2 years.
Which, by the way, how could anybody complain about, well, the price of living is really expensive in LA. Sam Gilbert will take care of you, man. It's what he does. They will take care of you. Jeff Capel. How far down until they get to Jeff Capel? When do they eventually get to, he's going to recruit. Ben Howland was recruiting. He got guys to UCLA. They didn't win the whole thing. They went to a championship game, 3 straight Final Fours. Couldn't win it all, though. Can't win the big one. We'll talk with Dave School, Biggest Biscuit, otherwise known as Not Easy, next.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
Bluegrass Karting and Events now has the fastest go-karts in Kentucky and axe throwing. Grab your coworkers, family, and friends and make a night of it with our new full bar and food menu. Bluegrass Karting and Events is Louisville's premier high-speed entertainment destination online at bluegrasskarting.com.
The Zone is brought to you by CC Power Sports of Louisville, home of Kawasaki, Yamaha, Suzuki, Can-Am, Sea-Doo, SSR, and Bad Boy zero-turn mowers. CC Power Sports of Louisville offers the best winter discounts on all motorcycles, ATVs, side-by-sides, and personal watercraft in the area. Beat cabin fever and come into CC Power Sports of Louisville. I-65, 7 minutes south of the airport.
You know what time it is.
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Jason Anderson.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
There is human error involved in the game. Kids make mistakes. Coaches make mistakes. Yes, officials will make mistakes. That's part of the game. Get over it. Sometimes they're going to go your way. Sometimes they're not going to go your way. Are we going to give God less glory because we lost? And it's only because we win. It's only when we win we give him the glory. Stop. This grow up. This is part of the game.
Well, we've always said we want to build a program, not just to have a good team. Last year, we were right there with the Elite Eight. Here we are a year later. We know the players are going to change because this is college basketball. But I think if our culture
stays the same and our expectations stay the same. I think we can be relative in the Big 12. And certainly if you're one of the best teams in the Big 12, you can play on the big stage.
Go after it for all you're worth. You know, I think it's so much about how you prepare, especially in a short amount of time. Everybody who gets to this game or this Final Four has played at such a high level. Plays are going to have to be made. You're going to need incredible mental toughness.
Come on, everybody.
You're in the zone.
In the zone.
The Zone with Jason Anderson. Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville.
Make sure I'm not naked or something.
Want to be part of the show? Give us a call at 267-9680.
Now,
The Zone with Jason Anderson.
Hey, let's see how it feels.
Powered by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Pat Holmes.
Texas says Pat Riley is only 74 years old, UCLA's next coach. That's right. Why not?
Give the man a call.
Eric Spoelstra? Pop? Go get Popovich. Huh?
Don't you keep Popovich's name out of your mouth.
Dude, it might end up being Luke Walton. Like, it really might end up, or Bill. One of the Waltons will end up. Will Bill be an assistant?
Coach, are we practicing today? We're practicing expanding our minds.
His mind works so differently than everybody else's, man.
That was a great interview.
I didn't do anything.
I know you didn't.
It was great to have him sit down and start talking, and then them telling me, wrap it up. What do you want? Wrap it up. I didn't do anything. I'm just sitting here. What are you getting mad at me for? Like, wrap it up. I haven't said anything.
I didn't ask a question.
I have said 20 words total. That's it. Like, yeah, we got stuck in traffic. The elk and bison were crossing the highway, and but then an eagle came down and picked up our car and flew us over to the other side of the traffic, and then we got here saying, "What the hell? Your mind does not work like everybody else's."
I'll have what he's having.
Yes, it is a beautiful mind. It is whatever ways. I mean, yes, he was probably higher than a kite when he was on with us, but I don't care.
Who cares?
I do not care at all.
He's not hurting anybody.
Nobody.
He's not hurting anybody.
He's a pacifist, right? I mean, he's not going to hurt anybody. Absolutely. That's exactly right. He was. You should have seen him as soon as he heard the music. I mean, the smile was ear to ear, and he was just flowing back and forth like wheat in the wind, just enjoying himself, just loving it, and magic, you know, playing the. Then he started producing. Hey, guy back there, turn the music down. First he said, turn it up, let's just listen to this. And then Magic was like, all right, I'll just turn it up. I was actually texting Magic like, all right, you can fade out the music. When Walton was like, all right, turn the music down. All right, I need to talk here. I can't
That's
hear myself
amazing.
Think. God, what an...
Do you think there was a moment for him where he was like, is this music in my head or is it playing over the radio?
I'm not sure.
He's playing a Grateful Dead playing in his head all the time. I really love the Grievous Vasquez interview, honestly.
I thought that was
guy is interesting as hell.
He was really good. Is this just the song or is this the Bill Walton interview?
No, this is the song.
Okay. Yeah. I was waiting for like Bill Walton to come in and be like, shut up, Jason.
I just want to listen
I got
to this.
Something to say.
I just want to listen to this and talk about Denny Crum and Louisville and the Omni and the Brown Foreman. Tell them all have a double.
When he ended, that was great. Say hi to the Brown Foreman folks. Tell them all have a double. No, he was phenomenal. It was a good couple days there. I ended up listening. I told Magic I was just hanging out in the city in Minneapolis. Went to Fan Fest and some things like that.
I love that you went to Mall of America.
Well, that's where we stayed.
Oh, really?
We stayed at the Radisson Blais. That is connected to the Mall of America. That's where Westwood One put up all the media there.
Was there a kid on the escalator?
There were kids all over that damn escalator. And the parents.
Kid!
Back on. I'm not. Look, I don't want the kid to have to suffer that, but his parents should have to go through that ordeal so they can learn how to manage their child. Boy, there's 70,000 escalators, so there was a kid everywhere. You gotta, there's street names in Mall of America.
Yeah.
Like, there's street names. Like, it's crazy. I was totally unaware, I'll be honest with you, of what Mall of America was like.
Did you ride the roller coaster?
Did I ride the roller coaster? Who are you asking? Of course not. Of course I didn't ride a roller coaster. Okay. I had a hard time just even looking at it. One of the escalators that's on, like, the fifth floor, you know, as it's going down... If you look to the left, I mean, it's all the way down to the second floor. And then I look to the left, I'm like, and I just I just leaned against the right side of the escalator and like slowly, like Mike Krzyzewski slowly creeping to the ground when he was having his spell or whatever, and just sat on the escalator, you know, not playing on it, just sitting on the escalator. That was it. I'm lying.
Sir, you have to get off.
Dude, I'm lying. You said that. It just popped into my head. I was riding up the escalator, I swear, and I wish I would have thought of this at the time. I was riding up the escalator, and there were parents that were right behind their, I think she was probably eight, and they weren't paying attention, and she was ahead of them, and she was walking on the little side thing while holding the escalator thing. She wasn't stepping on the escalator stairs. She wasn't just going down the escalator standing still. She was holding on to the right, that, you know, the handle that also goes down, and she was walking on the side of the thing. And I'm like, that kid is back on the escalator again. God, I can't believe I forgot about that. And then by the time the parents started paying attention and looked back down, she was then standing on the escalator steps, but she must have taken 10 steps. And I'm like, where the hell are her parents? I mean, I hope her pants get caught and a bloodbath ensues.
Like, oh my God.
I wish
the kid any ill will.
Pretty capital punishment, right? Oh, the doctor. Yes, you got to go to the doctor.
The doctor.
Yeah, we stayed at the Radisson Blair, which is right across the Skywalk to Mall of America. So, I spent a good amount of time at the MOA, as they would call it, there in Minneapolis, and didn't realize the entire amusement park that was there, all the arcades. They've got go-karts. They've got laser tag.
How many
tag,
arcades do they have?
Like three.
Ugh.
They legit have
three.
Amazing. Yes. Enjoying that. They have a movie theater in there. Saw Hotel Mumbai yesterday. I was trying to pass the time, okay? My flight was supposed to, I was going to leave yesterday morning at, like, I think my flight was 9:55, 10:55 here, land at like 12:15, home, rest of the day, hang out with the boy, hang out with the wife, get some stuff done around the house, and all of that. Well, then they were oversold. And they were like, hey, we're looking for some volunteers.
That's a great moment.
You know, I ain't got nothing to do.
That's a great moment.
And right now, it's like, it's 9 o'clock, and checkout ain't till noon. So I could head back to the hotel, lay around a little bit, watch some TV, and then I can see what movies are playing. I can go ride some go-karts. I can go to the arcade. I can grab some lunch. I went to do Fly Over America in Mall of America, which was one of the coolest things I've ever done. It was awesome. It's a virtual reality flight that you sit down, and in front of you and all around you, your feet are just in the open. I don't know what you're what do you call that?
Hanging free?
Yeah, hanging free. But there's obviously the floor is right there.
Well, sure.
But you're sitting high enough to where your feet can't touch the floor.
They raise you up. It's kind of like when they do the IMAX stuff. They raise you up, maybe.
And so your feet can't touch the floor. Yeah. And as soon as it starts, everything goes like invert. The floor turns into that as well.
Oh.
So you're flying over, and the seat's moving, and you come into, like, you're flying over a mountain, and it actually sprays mist at you, so you feel like you're in flying over the mountain. Everywhere you go, the aroma changes. So, like, we were in, like, Maui, and there were, like, a bunch of trees and different, and so you could smell that as well.
Oh.
Dude, it was phenomenal. The seat moves and everything. You could feel it, like, excel or propel the engine. When they were doing it was awesome. It's like $15 and it's 10 minutes
awesome.
To where you're just flying, and you really felt like you were, like, every once in a while I would look down, I'm like, oop. I'm like, it really, but I had to remind myself there's a floor right there.
You're okay, Jason.
I'm okay. See, I will do that all day.
Did they fly over Butchertown?
They did,
Did you get that punch
and smell? They did not. They did not fly over Butchertown.
Did it fly over Cleveland?
It flew over it flew over Chicago. It flew over New York. Statue of Liberty. It flew over Alaska. It flew over some mountains in Wyoming. Very familiar. Flew over Utah. Flew over Hawaii. It was actually really, really cool. I'll be honest with you. I'm not even making that up. If you're around there, don't know why you would be, but if you're around there in the Mall of America, it is worth it's like $15, waited 30 minutes, and that was peak time. It was Sunday at like 2 o'clock in the afternoon.
That's peak time.
So peak time, waited 30 minutes. I would have done it over and over again, and if I had to go back and do it over, they had a duel to where it was Fly Over America and then Fly Over Canada, and you go to both. And like the one Fly Over America was like 15, the duel was 25. I wish I'd have paid for the duel. But I didn't know what it was like. I'm like, I don't want to get on there, get motion sickness, and me be a guy that's risk averse, and then it's flying, and I'm afraid of heights. It was really one of the coolest things I've ever done. So I just hung out at the Mall America yesterday, just trying to pass the time until my flight last night took off at like 10:30. But, of course, they were oversold on that one, too. So, yes, I'll volunteer. Oh, another hotel stay and some more money heading my way. Fantastic. Flight's tomorrow. Gets me back into Louisville 12:30. I can still do my show. All righty, then. Baby on the way. I could use the money. I'll volunteer. I volunteer for tribute.
I'll volunteer there, buddy boy.
That's exactly right. Katniss Everdeen here. I learned it from
buddy
her.
Boy.
volunteer two different times, walking out with that straight cash, homie.
Did you do it like, did you whistle? Did you do the whistle?
No, the...
the Mockingjay whistle? That's not bad.
Thank you. Now let's do patience. The first one, it was like 9:55 was our first flight yesterday morning. And I was on with a couple of guys on the Louisville video staff and then not grad transfer, but grad assistant Gruden. Jay's son that's on the basketball grad assistant, he was on the flight with us.
Oh, I didn't know Jay's son was basketball staff.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I thought he would be on the football staff, but he played basketball at Dayton. Found that out, having a conversation with him. So they were looking for four volunteers, and I walk up, and I'm like, how much are you looking for the volunteers? And like, we can do 600, and you'll be on a flight at 8 o'clock. I'm like, can you go to 1,000? No, we can't go up that much, sir. I'm like, all right, I'll be over here. If you're desperate and you want to go to 1,000, give me a call. So there was only three, and they were two of the three, and they start boarding. And now it's like, people, we really need one more volunteer, please. One more volunteer. Okay, we'll take main cabin two, can now board. One more volunteer, and I walk up, and I go, still looking for that volunteer? Yes. How much is it sitting at? 600. 1,000? Sir, we can't jump up that much. How high can you go? I can go to 800. 900, and I'm your volunteer right now, and you're done. Okay. Boom. Boom, I'm staying. And then apparently, I didn't know this, everybody gets the same amount no matter what. So I negotiated everybody 300 else. Extra bucks for all the other three people, too.
They should have been shaking your hand.
I'm like, I'm owed like a percentage, like a finder's fee for you guys, right?
You give me $100.
That's right. Why not? You weren't going to have that anyway.
You weren't going to have it anyway.
You settled for 600. I negotiated up to 900. I 50% raise on that thing, baby. And then last night, same thing. They were oversold. And then today, legit, I almost got bought out of the show. I'm not even going to lie to you. I almost got bought out of the show today. I don't know how Delta makes money. Like they oversold by five seats this morning. And so they're like,
you oversell by five seats.
They're like, we are looking for
a business model.
That's each time. They oversold by four yesterday morning. They oversold by four last night. They oversold by five this morning.
The question is, could you make a living just taking their deals on every single flight?
By the time I was done, I might have had a month's worth of pay. Just buying a Delta flight for $200 and then just keep getting delayed and delayed and delayed.
I've been pushed seven times. I've got $5,000 up the last 4 days.
You are not wrong. And then they don't announce they need volunteers. Damn it.
I think the problem is that
$200. You're like a gambler. You're like a professional gambler. Right. It's my tout service on the best flights to get through Delta to get bought out.
See, the problem is you got to be the next level thinking. You guys thinking you're gonna do the same thing with the same flight over and over and over again? No. One, you gotta wait out that staff because eventually they're gonna change the order of who's sitting there at the desk. So while that one's going on, you get tickets to another flight. Who's another generous company? You just go back and forth between the two. That's the real racket,
dude. I mean,
do it during holiday weekends where you know they're gonna be looking for people.
Yeah. So I got the volunteer last night, put me up in a hotel, shuttle there and back. On a flight this morning that left at 9:55. It got delayed till 10:30, so I was a little nervous when I woke up. And I said, flight has been delayed to 10:30. I'm like, oh, no. Have I pressed my luck? So then I get there. We're ready to go. It's like 9 o'clock now, so the flight's not till 10:30. And they announce, attention, everybody. It's on a flight blah, 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 to Louisville. We need some volunteers. We need five volunteers. And I'm like, they did it again. And so I'm like, all right. So I'm texting my wife. I'm like, hey. They need volunteers again. Like, this is the third time. Like, that's like, I could have just kept. I almost got bought out of the show.
That's incredible.
The next flight, though, wasn't until 8 o'clock. Like, legit, if it would have been like, we're leaving at noon and you'll get there at 2:30, I might have been like, hey, Magic, can Andy fill in the first hour? I'm going to get bought out again. But it wasn't until 8 o'clock tonight, and they didn't get desperate enough to start negotiating up the price. Like, if it would have got to the point to where they're like, all right, we're at 1,500. I'm like, all right, Magic, I can't make it. Flight delayed.
So you could,
delayed, guys.
If you just held out a little longer, you could have paid for your entire childbirth. Like, honestly,
believe me, it was when I landed here today after the two buyouts. There's some bills that are going to be paid by Delta.
That's awesome.
Thank you, folks. I appreciate that.
Thank
and the
you,
wife allowing
Delta.
Me. Thank you, sir. Appreciate you. I was a little disappointed last night, though. I'm not going to lie. I was pretty damn disappointed. So they announced they needed four volunteers to stay overnight. Four to take a flight the next morning. Like, who's got the flexibility when you were going to be home on a Sunday night as opposed to Now you don't get home till 1 o'clock in the afternoon on a Monday. Who's got that flexibility? Well, I do. So I go up there, and they're like, we need four, and they give me the price, and I'm like, how high are you guys going to go? And they're like, well, we can't do that right now. We're still waiting for four. Like, the flight doesn't leave for another hour. And I'm like, all right, well, I'm going to take a chance here. You go ahead and sign me up, and I'm assuming they're going to get desperate, and people are going to start negotiating. So I get signed up, and I'm like, just waiting, and I'm texting my wife. I'm like, they need three other people to stay overnight. Imagine how desperate they're going to get and the money that this can go up. I'm just sitting back, like, yeah, you know, catching up on Billions, just the case against Adnan Syed. And I'm just watching some HBO, getting ready to start Veep. And they announce, folks, we're still looking for three more. They're getting ready to board. And I'm like, they need three more people to stay overnight and they're boarding. Oh, my God, this is going to be a payday. Like, I'm going to retire on Delta. I'm going to be a Delta. I'm going to get a Delta pension out of this thing. Bless her heart, this lady with two kids walks up. She says, well, what's the deal? What's the information? They tell her the information. She goes, okay, we'll sign up. And I'm like,
they're
desperate. Like, you don't just accept the terms.
Look at all your bargaining chips. There's three of you.
But see, she got three times the money because she had three tickets. Yeah. So she had her and her two kids. So she gets three times the money, so she's...
And the kids aren't getting that money.
Really no incentive
for her. She's getting that money.
No incentive for her to sit there and negotiate and take a chance with somebody coming up behind her going, I'll take one. Well, now she can't be a part of it. Yeah. She needs all three of those seats.
Buddy boy.
So she just sits there and takes the money, and I'm not going to lie, I was kind of annoyed. I'm like, I'm thinking, well, I signed up. I'm like, even if it's the least amount that they
don't
offer...
Don't your kids have school tomorrow? Come on.
Good night! How can you do that to your kids? You're taking them out of... What's your kid's education worth to you? Huh?
Apparently $1,800.
I know the amount
now. The exact number. $1,800.
Now I'm like, man, I really wish my wife would have gone to the Final Four with me. We'd have been doubling up every time, you know.
Man.
We will volunteer. Now I know. Like, I'm packing flexibility into every flight back. If I'm like, every single one was oversold. Like, how do you make a living? Like, you oversold. Like, how much money you gave away in those three flights? It's like 10 tickets. Like, you paid somebody, you paid the four of us $900 a piece so that you can get the tickets on that flight that were probably $250 a piece.
They overbook every single
You lost
flight.
$650 on that transaction.
That's ridiculous.
Times four. Then you did it the next flight.
$2,600.
Times five. Then you did it the next flight times four. Like, that's
26, 32, 50, 26.
That's 13 different times.
A lot of money.
Good night. But hey, I'm good with it. So I appreciate it.
For your incompetence.
I almost got bought out today. I'm not going to lie. They were sitting there and I was waiting for them. But they ended up getting all four volunteers this morning for the price they asked for at the beginning. Mm. I'm like, sorry. So I guess I'm going to do my show today. Magic. Let's see, who do we got lined up now, Magic? I guess I got to get ready for a show here. I can't just catch up on
Billions.
Well,
not Big Easy, we know that.
Episode four. Well, he told me yesterday. He gave excuse number three. So we've gone from kids are sick, wife's aunt has a funeral. Well, she doesn't. The funeral's for her. She didn't plan it.
She didn't hold the funeral.
Right, yeah. And then today he was traveling with work. He was on the road with work. So we got kids, death, work. I mean, that's we're one away from the, From the big
the
four.
Cycle.
Yeah, hitting the cycle. Exactly.
What's the fourth one? What's the fourth one in the excuse cycle?
That is a good question.
Buddy boy.
Sickness,
kids,
funeral.
Funeral.
Work.
Work.
What is the next one? Man. Text 437-9680. We need to know what the next one is. What's the fourth president what's the fourth president of excuses here?
The Mount Rushmore.
We need to know
of easy skipping excuses.
That's exactly. The fourth president of excuses. We need to know that right now.
Well, last Wednesday, he had to peel off a 20 for me on our Jeff Walls bet.
Nice. Oh, yeah, because he said he was going to Tennessee.
Yep.
So he got the 20 there, but he also got some money back from Locke because he said PJ Washington was playing.
Did he got his $10 back from Locke. He had to turn around and give
so
me
So he's
20.
Negative 10 right now.
It's negative 10 on these transactions. I am plus 20.
I'd like to thank everybody else. It's not Delta, but I'd like to thank everybody else that played in the player pool this year. So I appreciate all the donations to the Anderson Family Fund for the new child.
Stupid Gonzaga. Just lost in the second round like they're supposed to.
You mean stupid Purdue.
That too.
Because Carson got me a leading scorer too, which is a percentage
right,
of the pot.
But if Gonzaga gets knocked out in the second round, you know, like he should have.
Yes.
They were supposed to.
The text coming in, 437-9680, boy, they just started blowing up. Car broke down, car troubles. Fourth excuse, got free tickets I couldn't pass up, vasectomy.
There's like 75 votes for car. Yes. We're going to go with vasectomy.
Dentist appointment, wedding, car won't start. Boy, the car won't start is the car leader of the really, pack well, right really, out of the gate.
That's the classic for pretty much any job.
Yeah, car trouble. More car problems coming in, car trouble. Car problems, doctor's appointment. I lost my voice from not being on the radio.
My buddy says excuse number four is someone coming over for home repair.
Hey man, the only time that they could give me was 4 to 8. Sorry about that, man. Sorry, 2 to 6. That was the only time frame that they were available, and I apologize with that.
So they're gonna be in here to install cable. Yes. Anytime from 9:30 in the morning to 9:30 at night.
Fourth excuse is Big Easy was attending a baseball game with Bobby Knight. I was a
good football coach and knew how to win games.
Nice. That was pretty good.
Let me hear
I'm
that
not
going to
lie. That was me saying was and knew.
I was a good football coach and knew how to win games.
Yes. Texas says fourth excuse, interviewing with UCLA.
There you go.
Pretty good. These Texans are pretty good.
Big Easy. Your next basketball coach at the University of California at Los Angeles.
I don't doubt it. So let me get your thoughts on this. Not easy. Dave Scholes joining us. Biggest Biscuit.
I'm $20 richer than easy.
A lot richer than easy based on the player pool and Carson Edwards and Delta.
If we just look at the last 2 weeks in a vacuum.
I'm going to take a week off and just fly with Delta. It's like a staycation. Where are you going? I don't know.
I don't care.
I don't know and I don't care. Probably the airport for a number of days. That's where I'm heading is to the airport. What are you going to do there? I don't know. I'm just going to stay there.
Hopefully take their money to take different flights.
Got a lot of work to catch up on here. That's what I'm going to do. Hopefully, you know what I'm going to do? Pay off the mortgage. That's what I'm going to do at the airport.
I love it.
So what's your takeaway of we can talk about the weekend, but nobody's really talking about Texas Tech and Michigan State because that was Texas Tech just eventually their will on Michigan State and Izzo doing what Izzo does. I wish that not Bonnie Bernstein, but Tracy Wolfson. I wish Tracy would have started the interview with Tom Izzo going, Tom, very familiar feeling for you. What's going through your mind in this sixth loss in the national semifinal? How does this rank with the other five losses in the national? Very familiar
six.
For you.
Can you rank them all right now?
I'm assuming
a degree of emotional difficulty.
I'm assuming your favorite was the championship year. Your second favorite is when you won. But the other six that you didn't, Tom, very familiar feeling of you being in the for you going second at the podium after you have a cooling off period for the losing team. Tom, what's going through your mind right now? She did not. But there really isn't much to take away from that other than Chris Beard is making a lot of money. And Texas Tech is putting themselves in position to win a national championship, which is, let me tell you, as somebody who roots for a team that has never been to a Final Four, it's just really cool to see some teams get the chance like this. Oh, I just feel so good for them. But main conversation is Virginia.
Jason, something about that makes me feel like you're not being...
Wasn't sincere?
Genuine.
No, I was, I swear. But the conversation's been Virginia and Auburn, the end of the game. What are you looking at in storyline? Is it double dribble? Is it foul, not foul? Is it Kyle Guy free throws? Is it the video that I forgot to tweet of 10 minutes of Charles Barkley pacing and rubbing his bald head and cheering back and forth with the Virginia student fan base that was right next to him? What do you take away? What's your storyline there?
I think it's all one big package. You can't look at I think it was clearly – right, I see Magic just hustling around after I said that.
Yep.
But I think I know where that's going.
I haven't seen Magic move that fast since he was in high school.
He just looked up and went,
he sprung up. Like, bah! It was like a dog that hears a horn.
I just got
the
sign from my high school baseball coach to take second base, and I'm on it.
Magic was a dog that was sleeping that heard a police siren. Looking around, ears perked up, straight up. It was like a Doberman pincher.
Like cereal or something that sounded like biscuits.
That's exactly right. The ears like a Doberman just straight up.
What the hell was that?
I was the husky that just heard the bag of chips open in the room next door.
What? Just sprints at me.
Right.
But when I look at it, as much as it pains me to see the Auburn player leave his feet, you know, and jump towards Kyle Guy, I thought it was a clear foul.
Yeah.
I mean, he clipped his hip. Actually impeded his shot to a degree. I mean, it was a clear-cut foul, in my opinion. You hate to see it, but if something's a foul, I hate like the 100,000th person saying, but if it's a foul in the first minute, it's a foul in the 40th minute, you have to call it.
Let me cut you off there as you go on to other
things.
Please
go ahead.
Do you feel like, I said this in the first out, do you feel like we've all moved more to a position to where, as a collective, we're now all in agreement that if it's a foul, it's a foul, it's a foul? Because there used to be like you felt like you were fighting with people. Go, how can you call it? You can't call it there. I feel like almost everybody I've heard, it was like, well, you got to call it there. If you got to call it 15 minutes, you got to call it 15
Eventually,
seconds.
Eventually, everybody's been burned. So
I feel like we're like, that's not even an argument anymore.
No, it shouldn't.
I feel like
be.
Maybe we're saying that because we were so used to saying it for a long time that I kind of feel like almost everybody.
That's how officials, like when people say, you know, officials shouldn't affect the game. Swallowing your whistle is how you affect the
game. Let the kids decide it. They did.
Like, well, they did by fouling.
Dowdy decided it by fouling him.
But I saw it live, and I know Locke is on this hill where nobody saw it live. No, I saw it live.
The double dribble.
I saw him. It looked very awkward from the beginning. He dribbled it off his foot. It didn't look like anybody touched it.
Mm-hmm.
And then he recollected it with two hands and started dribbling again. It was a clear double dribble to me. Obviously, if you miss it in real time, you can't do anything about it.
Right.
But it's got to make Auburn fans sick. It has to.
It's an odd sort of, maybe not hill to die on, but it is an odd position for an opinion to state and to make, and that would be, if you didn't see it at home live and scream at your TV, then you shouldn't expect the official to call it?
When there was two people looking directly at the play.
Like that's a very odd, like Jimmy Dyke said the same thing.
Doesn't make any sense to me.
Like, be honest, who saw that in real time? I don't know, but I know the official didn't. And that's his job. My job is not to officiate the game and see it in real time. You know, I didn't know the Tuck rule was an incomplete pass in real time. We saw it after replay. But you know what? The officials were paying attention, and they got it right based on the rule. So, no, I didn't see it in real time, but I don't want people to say nobody saw it because my timeline was rolling and there were media members around that was like, was that a double dribble? Because we couldn't see, like, we're, you know, we don't have the best seat in the house. It's a free seat, so it's pretty awesome. But, I mean, we've got a better seat than a lot of people that paid a lot of money behind us that have. But you can't see little things like that to where he picked it up with both hands after dribbling it on his foot off his foot. You're watching the game, and you know, the Auburn player might have touched it. You know, we're from the baseline. And even if he didn't touch it, did Ty Jerome pick it up with both hands, or did he just dribble and pick it up with one hand and start to dribble? Like, you can't see that from where we're at. But a couple of the media members that were watching the big screen, which has the game, and then the TV monitors that are in front of you are, you know, 15 seconds behind or so. They're like the Rick Pitino of the game. And so there were people in real time that were like... thank you. There were people around us in real time that were like, he picked that up with both hands. And I'm like, I was watching here. Plus, I'm videotaping Charles Barkley's reaction. The last 10 minutes of that entire game.
I saw him
game.
Down in the tunnel. That's awesome.
I just I should have tweeted it out. I don't know. Can you tweet a 10-minute video?
I don't know.
Like, I don't know.
That's a good question.
Should probably try to do that. What the heck? And then after the game was over, I tweeted out the picture of him just staring into the abyss, which was unfortunate for him, you know. But I there were plenty of people that saw it in real time. But even if you didn't, like, it's a pretty easy call. Like, I'll be honest with you. I didn't see the LSU-UK basket interference in real time.
Yeah.
But when you watch it on replay, boy, that was a pretty easy call for the officials with three of them that are right there. I didn't see it in real time and go, whoa, that was basket interference. He touched that. I just saw him tip it back, knowing that it was within time and saying, well, Kentucky just lost by two to LSU. Yeah. That was all I was thinking. And then they showed the replay. And as soon as they showed the replay, I'm like, that ball's in the cylinder. Like, that's a – and then Carl Ravitch getting it wrong over and over and over. The ball is off the rim. That is not a goaltend. That is not a basket. I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? So the ball is – it can be above the rim, but it is not touching the rim. Like, what
rule? You're wrong, sir.
You be quiet. I know the rule. Poor Strebel. I love you, James. And James was listening to Ravitch, you know, give the wrong rule.
And then
somebody else was calling in to try to tell him the right rule. He's like, you be quiet.
You would expect Carl Ravitch to know what he was talking about.
I agree. But regardless, I didn't see that in real time, but it was a pretty easy call for the officials. Yeah. Like, it's such an odd sort of take and opinion to have in that, no, hey, you scream at your TV, therefore don't complain about it not being called. It's odd. And I'll be honest with you, there's a lot of things that happened. They missed the foul on Auburn, grabbing his jersey before he dribbled off his foot. Then there was a pretty obvious double dribble.
I heard Bob
dribble.
Talking about that, and he was like, well, the fingers got caught in the jersey. He's like, it looked like he was trying to
He was trying to foul him.
It looked like he was
they were trying to foul because
they
had another.
Well, I just heard you say that it should have counted. You understand the rule, right?
Yeah, the ball was coming off. The, yeah, no, no, Shush, you be quiet.
You be quiet. You be quiet.
That was the teacher coming out.
Oh, 100%.
You be quiet.
You be quiet.
That was the teacher coming out.
You know what? You know what?
You be quiet.
You know what?
One more, no recess.
You be quiet.
How about that? How about...
You're not in lunch bunch today.
Done.
Guess what?
Done.
You're not in lunch bunch.
You know what? Thinking chair. Thinking chair for you for the last period of
school. You have
today.
No computer time today.
You be quiet.
No screen time, as we tell our boy.
Yeah.
No
you
screen
quiet.
Time. You go to timeout? No screen time.
You be quiet.
You went to timeout at school? Sorry, no screen
no,
time.
No, no screen time.
No screen time. That's the them's the breaks. That's the way the cookie crumbles, okay? It's the way the ball
does bounces. It hurt you to be that way with him?
No, not at all. I don't want him to have screen time. Then we can play. We can do other things. We can play basketball. We can color.
No screen time is not always a punishment.
Right.
Really.
For him, he thinks it's a punishment. For me, it's like now he can play cars. We can go through letters.
I was a kid, we were outside all the time.
Right.
Screen time was not a big deal for us. It was like if you're having a sleepover or something late at night, you're watching movies and you're playing video games. But during the day, dude, we were outside all the time. We played Manhunt.
Yeah. But like during the winter, it's tough. During the winter is tough as an only child because then you're not going outside. Then it's no screen time. And then mommy and I are like, well, what the hell do we do now?
Well, in New York, we built snowball. Or we had snowball fights and built huge forts and all that stuff.
Yeah, he's three. He can't go outside in negative temperature. So, you
can harden the boy up. Just let him outside. Right. Let him outside in shorts and sandals.
Exactly right. Gotta learn sometime to live. Huh? Well, you know what? Darwin.
He can be.
You know what?
You can be a large adult son at age three.
It's not Darwin. You locked him outside for 4 days in negative temperature.
He has hypothermia.
It's not Darwin. Well, not everybody in the Donner Party died. Yes, they did. Oh, well. It's not what I read.
They didn't all die at once.
That's
all right. Some of them had a few more weeks.
That's right. Some of them died immediately.
What sucks about these type of endings...
Pansies!
What sucks about these type of endings is that, honestly, the focus should be on, and it is to a degree, on Kyle Guy, just...
See, that's what I talked about
ice
first,
cold veins,
those three free throws.
Three
man.
Free throws after hitting that three. Like, 6 points in the last how many seconds to seal that game. It was another...
Yeah.
Like, and obviously, blah, blah, we all know that... When you're a really good team, you have several more. You have many more opportunities at lucky finishes. But like they have had a few pretty
fortunate
endings.
Klein doesn't miss free throws,
and
he missed the second one.
Like I said, we know great teams put themselves in position to win, in a position to get lucky more often than others. But it's still been a pretty amazing run of circumstances for UVA at this point, and.
I mean,
they
ended it on a 6-1 run in the last, 6 seconds? Guy hits the three. Harper only makes one free throw, makes it a 2-point game, and then Guy hits all three free throws.
Hey, Guy.
What's up, Guy? Hey, what do you say there, Guy?
I just who was the defender that fouled Kyle Guy? I can't remember.
Doughty. Samir Doughty.
When he left his feet, I cringed because I knew he was going to foul him.
We got to take a break, and there's a couple of other things I want to get into with you. But real quick, I am surprised at the amount of agreement on that foul being a foul. Like it's almost universal.
After
it was
the Carson Edwards foul,
but not the Carson Edwards one.
Yeah,
like it's because Carson Edwards puts his right foot or right leg out. But if you watch the replay, was it Jordan Bone or was it?
It was Bone, wasn't it?
Whoever it was went through Edwards' hip.
Yeah.
Like he hip checked him. Like it was if Carson Edwards doesn't move his feet at all, like he still knocks Carson Edwards back with a hip. But it was because Edwards' foot went out. Yeah. He was trying to draw the foul, but it didn't matter because
he was gonna draw that foul. Regardless.
He was gonna get because the way that the guy jumped into him.
Yeah.
So much debate about that. Oh, he stuck his foot out. That's not a foul. But because Kyle Guy didn't stick his foot out, nobody is like saying that's not a foul. That's not a foul. Everybody's like, oh yeah, that's a foul. But if Guy sticks his foot out and the same exact thing happens, I do wonder if you'd have debate and go, and he stuck his foot out. Right, but he hip-checked him. Doesn't matter if he stuck his foot out. He still hit him in the hip. But there was so much debate about Carson Edwards, and it seems like universal. It's like, oh, that was a foul. No, it was a foul. It's about the only debate is like when people are like, oh, can you call that late in the game? Come on, I mean, you're deciding the game.
Which we've put to bed.
Yeah, and we get to...
We have officially put that
absolutely,
to
bed, yes. We have retired that. It
never,
is official.
Ever going to talk about it again.
Done and done. We're like Itra. We finally retired it, okay? It is absolutely over.
I realize that this is not a topic right now, and it happened weeks ago.
Yeah.
But wasn't that beautiful when he hugged the Japanese rookie on his team?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And you could just tell the guy was overcome. I forgot the pitcher's name, and it was his first start.
I'm not sure what it is either.
But he was just overcome with emotion, starting the game as a rookie, where Ichiro is it's his official final game, and you could just tell like he was just overcome and went and sat down and just was holding his head, and it was a beautiful moment.
Yeah.
No, weird, I mean, sidebar, like 3 weeks after it happened. But
absolutely,
anyway.
No, but I appreciate the sidebar getting in the paper. 3 weeks after.
You be quiet.
Kind of like the real...
Well, we were going to talk about Oakland and Kansas City's bullpens. It's a nice
segue. That's right,
segue.
Yeah. Well, you can be quiet there.
Be quiet.
Nothing to talk about there. Well, there's a lot to talk about. Start over. Scrap it and start over.
You be quiet.
All right, we'll take a time out. We will come back. We continue rolling here.
It's going to become the best drop ever.
On ESPN 680, 105.7. Thank you to DFH. We are hanging out here in a weather-controlled environment. Temperature controlled, whatever you want to call it. Environment. DFH hooked us up. We got the Mitsubishi Mini Split.
Climate controlled.
That's exactly what I was looking for. Weather-controlled, temperature-controlled. Well, you know, we got in here there's a lot of climate change.
So, it was raining in here when I
what?
Sat down.
What?
We believe in it.
Why doesn't DFH just take care of the climate change? They climate control this room? Just make the Mitsubishi Mini Split bigger.
I'm calling for snow tomorrow morning in the studio.
Is there a tornado in here? What the hell, man? This is L.A. How does that happen? It's a monsoon in Arkansas. That doesn't make any sense. Oh, it was on a lake. Who knows? But DFH hooked us up. We got the Mitsubishi Mini Split. They make sure the studio remains very cool, even during the summertime when the ducks cannot get enough AC back here. So we certainly appreciate them. DFHcompany.com. They are open 24 hours. That 24-hour service, as you would say, with the DFH Company. And we certainly appreciate them and all that they do here at ESPN 680 105.7, mainly in the studio as well. If you've got an issue with heating or air conditioning, look up DFH. Give them a call as well. DFH.com. We'll take a timeout, come back, continue rolling. More Zone. Oh. Breaking news from Magic.
A little bit of news here just before we head to break. Okay. Trey Jones officially announces he will return to Duke for a sophomore season.
Dang.
Well, all right.
All right. DFHcompany.com, where you can see Trey Jones and the others that are going to. Give Trey Jones and Duke a call, 968-6222. Also, DFH, that's their number as well. So Trey Jones, that's pretty big for Duke, I'll be honest with you. They didn't have a point guard.
Big. It is big.
They didn't have a point guard to take over there. So
that's Coach, what she said.
Coach K doing exactly what he needed to do to coax that player to return. That is more beneficial to him. Well done, K.
Well done.
Well done. I was a
good football coach and knew how to win games.
You are listening to The Zone Podcast. Check out Jason Anderson weekdays 3 to 6 only on ESPN 680 and ESPNLouisville.com.
UPS is now hiring package handlers in Louisville. Package handlers earn competitive wages. And with UPS's Metropolitan College program, you can graduate 100% debt-free. Get in the game with UPS. Apply now at upsjobs.com. That's upsjobs.com.
You're locked in the zone with Jason Anderson, presented by CC Power Sports of Louisville on ESPN 680 and 105.7.
45 minutes away from our coverage starting on ESPN 680, 105.7 in the national championship game. 6:30 is when it gets rolling. Exclusive live play-by-play of the NCAA tournament presented by Mattress & More, Wright Implement, Dave & Buster's, UPS Jobs, FFO Home, delivered by Papa John's and fueled by Kroger. 93.9 The Ville will join at 8 o'clock after the Scotty D Show. That is all coming your way tonight. National championship game. Texas Tech, Virginia, put the women and children to bed and go looking for dinner or supper. I can't remember what he says, Joe Kane, in the program. I think it's dinner, right? Put the women. Magic, can you turn his mic on? You cool? If you okay with Dave joins us? All right, very good.
Running on little doggy.
Yes. You know what? I've got to go. My doggy's just scored, and I got to go celebrate.
I've got some celebrating to do.
That's exactly right. Did you, by the way,
Michael. To nobody's surprise, that's my favorite character in the movie.
It's pretty good. mine is.
That's a strong,
statement. Let's talk Virginia basketball. Woo-wee! I don't need the Louisville men's clinic anymore.
The ED is solved, baby. Seth Greenberg has the fix. Let's talk Virginia basketball. Honey, get ready. I'm coming home. Virginia's on the TV.
That clip makes Jason so embarrassed anymore.
Well, there's a lot of things that I say on this show that make me embarrassed. A lot of things I do on the show that make me embarrassed if I heard them back. All right?
I co-sign everything I've ever done on the radio.
There you go. See, it's, I do not.
I don't care.
Yes. Oh, man. The doctor, Michael.
No, that's not true.
By the way, that's all I heard this weekend was that
the doctor.
Big, hey, welcome to Minnesota. We got you this bag full of things.
Big. Oh,
my God. It was like, oh, my God, you really sound like that?
One of my good friends.
The doctor.
Who I actually lived with for a while was a girl from Wisconsin, and she always said big.
Big.
Big. In addition to a lot of other weird things.
They gave us a welcome big when
awesome.
We got to Radio Row, and yeah. They actually said, it's on your table, there's a big, the doctor. Like, there's a bag? Are
Did you
feel
like
me?
You're in the middle of Fargo?
It
just
was awesome. I almost said, ah, thank you, don't you know?
Don't you know?
Don't you know? I love it.
Are you going down to the Twin Cities, are you?
That I was.
Oh.
Yes. So Michael Avenatti, I know we'll get to the championship game predictions coming up here. Michael Avenatti goes on CNBC and presents his case yet again in, I guess, a one-on-one interview about what Nike's doing and him being blowing the whistle, blowing the cover off of Nike and Zion Williamson and the money they paid to Zion's mom so that Zion will end up at Duke. And is Clemson Nike as well?
You know what? I'm not sure off the top of my head. I think they are.
I think I'm picturing
on their
That's
football jerseys.
That's what I'm
jerseys.
Doing, too. I'm picturing the Nike swoosh on the jerseys as
pretty
well.
Sure.
Just not a big enough Nike school for Nike to say, no,
at least
Zion,
not in basketball.
You can go there. It's okay for you to go. No, you can't go to Clemson. Sorry.
But we do want them to be your other school in your final two.
That's exactly right. We want you to have two, both Nike schools.
Why don't you give old Brad Brownell a little bit of a boost there, buddy boy?
Exactly right. Yes, Brad Brownell, an entire season.
Clemson is Nike, yes.
Very good. Yeah. Brad Brownell, an entire season of just missing out. So close to a win.
Dude, I got to tell you.
Last second wins.
This season probably cut about 6 years off of his life. But
they probably had eight or nine games that were decided by 1 point.
When he was in the Yum, I think it was at that point, we were the fifth or sixth one-possession game at that point. That he had lost. And obviously the crowd wasn't into it the whole game because Louisville wasn't playing well. You know, they were laying an egg, especially at the end of the game when we were giving that lead up again. And you could hear Brad Brownell everything. You could hear everything he yelled. Absolutely. I don't know if it was something like with the audio, like the, you know, the audio, like the, what am I trying to say? The
just
acoustics,
like
the acoustics
yeah.
in the building.
Or the boom mic near it.
Like where I was maybe in that one spot where I could hear everything. But I'm across the arena from him and I could hear everything he said.
Wow.
And he looked like he was about to have a stroke.
Yeah.
It was really intense.
And he said he didn't want to talk about it twice when I had him on. He's like, I don't really want to talk about that. Well, let's go back to that game.
No, Jason,
no,
it's
I don't
not.
Really, I don't really want to talk about it. He had a shot in the air. It got blocked in the end. Another shot at the buzzer. We were down seven with like 15 seconds ago. How did
Mark
that
McGuire happen? In front of Congress.
It's so crazy.
Don't want to talk about the past, Jason.
That's exactly right. Yes.
Well, why are you here
because
talk about the food truck I'm opening? I don't know.
Did you misremember what happened there at the end? I'm not really sure. So Michael Avenatti's coming out with all the stuff about Duke, and he said he was going to do that in national championship weekend, Final Four, and all that stuff, and he's still going on this bit. He went on CNBC and did an interview, so that's up there on the internet as well that you can go and check out. Nothing really new other than, hey, I've got the goods on Nike. They're not working with the FBI. They haven't been working with the government. They have not turned over all the information that I released on the Dropbox and the 41 pages or whatever that is. He does have receipts. I do find it funny that the dismissal of Avenatti, because it's like, oh, he's an accused criminal. It doesn't matter what he says. And it's like, you realize two banners, including a national championship, came down because of a prostitute.
Right.
I mean, so
and
we're
her,
really like paying attention to the credibility of like, well, no, this guy doesn't have any credibility. She didn't have any, but she had the goods.
Yeah.
She had receipts. That makes a difference when you're coming with receipts, whether
docket,
you've got credibility or not.
A history of payments all written with the same pen.
Crayon.
Crayon.
Very
whatever,
big crayon.
All the same, whatever. But the thing that everybody misses on that one is that Louisville cooperated and corroborated most of her story.
I agree.
But that's
are,
the problem.
Yes.
That's
Chuck
the
Smart,
difference. That's the big difference. That would be equivalent of Duke coming out tomorrow and saying everything Avenatti said, at least enough of it is right that we are going to put ourselves at the mercy of the NCAA.
We're
going to
agree to all this stuff so that the NCAA knows we're working with them. That's what Chuck Smart did. Like, that's my complaint.
You know what? we're going to vacate the results this past season. I know, it's something.
Mainly the tournament.
Mainly the tournament, yeah.
Yeah, well, Drew had the line that one of his buddies said, it's a great line, said between Avenatti's tweet versus the 45 minutes later that he got arrested, he said in that time frame, Louisville would have admitted. Louisville would have just admitted everything and came clean. And it's like, all right, we did it. We did it all. He's been arrested. About that, just coming clean there, apologize. Like, that was a really good line.
It is a great line.
Louisville would have self-imposed and everything in that 45 minutes.
I do wonder, and it hurts, so I don't like to do this, like, what would have been different? Honestly, what would have been different if Chuck Smurda said, don't cooperate.
Or just fight. Or you know what? Don't corroborate
anything that she said. Don't do any of that stuff. Right. Make them do their entire investigation on their own, which they did. I mean, they got quotes from recruits, et cetera, et cetera. So they had their own information.
They had plenty of stuff. The issue is, like, Chuck Smurda just went ahead and stipulated a really large portion of that.
A huge portion to speed up
the process.
Instead of disputing any of her book.
There are just a few things that they disputed, and the biggest dispute was whether it was just monetary or if it was the entire cumulative acts and the nature of those acts. That was their big disagreement. But even to get there, they were like, okay, we agree with that. We agree with that. Yeah. We agree with that. And once you agree to it, it's a fact of the case.
It's on the record.
It's called by the NCAA a fact of the case. Yeah. Whether you think it's a fact or not, it's actually
These are the facts of the case. And they are not in dispute. Or what does he say?
Not disputable.
Something like that.
Yeah,
Kevin Bacon.
Yeah, once they
Chuck Smurda needs to go buy a vowel.
Yeah, once they
identical.
Cousin Vinny.
Yeah, once they agreed to it, it's done. Those are the facts of the case.
Absolutely.
So, and Duke's not going to do that. Duke's going to fight, and they're going to keep fighting. But you also want, like, there's different. I will say as well, there's a difference to what Duke will go through versus some of these other schools that are involved with the FBI. It is a private institution, so they are not open to the Freedom of Information request as you have before. They are also not open to the same rules in terms of hiring and firing to where if you're a public institution, like, you have to do the standard practices of if you hire a consultant, it has to be for market value. It has to be that you've posted the job, that you've got a number of people that you've talked to and interviewed when you're a public institution. They're a private institution, so they can pay a consultant whatever they want. To a certain degree, like they're not under the same rules. So there is a bit of a difference there in what you would be sort of going after or finding as opposed to what Arizona or LSU or Louisville or Kansas versus Duke would be going through. So that's the one part there. And we know it's K and it's Duke. They're fine.
They're not going to get in trouble for this.
And it's an Elite Eight. It's not like
they're
Zion.
They're not getting in trouble for
this. If Zion was playing tonight, I think there'd be a whole lot more people paying attention to this a little bit more.
You be quiet.
than them losing in the Elite Eight and going, there's no real banner to take down.
If they ever end up taking these wins away or whatever, I mean, Coach K will probably claim he had the vapors or something.
I
had the vapors.
What they'll claim is that they're the victims. That's what Kansas is claiming. And now there's payment of restitution from, Gasnola?
Kansas and Auburn
and Louisville. Louisville got like $40,000.
They only asked for like $25,000. I'm not sure if they got it or not.
Like, think of the racket that the NCAA is. Okay, so you've got all this money coming in, and you exchange cost of attendance for all this money coming in. Then the players get some extra money to go to your school, which you're perfectly fine with because then you can benefit off of. And then if you get caught, the person that was actually paying them goes to jail, and then they have to pay you restitution for what they feel was loss of value, even though you got the big player.
It's a fine racket.
What an amazing,
incredible
setup that everybody has there.
It's incredible.
Who you got tonight?
You know, I picked Virginia and Texas Tech in the semifinals, and I picked Virginia to win. This week, I didn't do it in my original bracket.
I was going to say, good for you.
Should have done that in your player pool. No, I picked these two last week and said Virginia would win in the final. Although I have a real, it would not surprise me whatsoever if Chris Beard pulls this off. He's a hell of a coach.
I've got Texas Tech winning tonight.
Yeah,
I think they win.
I wouldn't surprise me at all. And how is he not the lead candidate for the UCLA job? How is he not?
Well, they can't talk about
it
right
really
now.
Bad.
I think, actually, breaking news, I think they just hired you.
Awesome.